Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Play another one for you here. When you go through stuff in your life, difficult stuff, just talk to them. Don't run away. Don't try to figure everything out. Just talk to them. It's a beautiful thing. God loves the lullaby of mother's tears in the dead of night better than a hallelujah sometimes. God loves a drunkard's cry, soldier's plea just to keep him alive better than a hallelujah sometimes. We pour out our misery, God just hears the melody. Beautiful the mess we are, the honest cries of breaking hearts. Better than a hallelujah.
woman holding on for life, an old man giving up the fight, is better than a hallelujah sometimes. Tears of grief for what's been done, the silence when the words won't come, better than a hallelujah sometimes. We pour out our misery, God just hears the melody. Beautiful the mess we are, the honest cries of breaking hearts. Better than a hallelujah, better than a church bell ringing, better than a choir singing out, we pour out our misery, God just hears a melody, beautiful the mess we are, the honest cries of breaking hearts, better than a hallelujah. There it is. Thanks. I have messed up so many times in my life, I kind of look forward to it now. You know? It's kind of it's a great moment. It is a great moment. Let's pray together before we read the scripture, shall we? Lord Jesus, it's you who walked out of this grave this day we're reading about. It's you who dealt with these dear ones who were confused and brokenhearted. You're the same one who deals with us today with our confusion and broken hearts. We ask that you'd open the scriptures and by your Spirit help all of us to understand what you want to say to us today. Lord, this is a supernatural word. It's a supernatural book. And we wait for your power to work in our lives today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 20, verse 1 of John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. That's how John always described himself. He never used his own name. And she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary Magdalene stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I'll get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him, cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me." You see, what happened between Rabboni and "don't hold on to me"? "Let go of me, will you?" I mean, she's all over him, right? I mean, I just love that scene. "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm returning to my father and your father, to my God and your God. He left at that moment and then returned again. Very interesting. I think he took that blood sacrifice before the Father in heaven. You know, there are many beautiful figures in the Bible, characters that are just such incredible people. To be Mary Magdalene was one of the most incredible. She's mentioned 12 times in the New Testament. That's more than most of all the apostles, okay? I mean, Peter and John, James, they're mentioned all the time. The others aren't mentioned that much. Mary is. She was a beautiful believer. And she went through, I can't help it, three distinct phases in her life that, to me, are absolutely astounding. And we see pictures of her throughout the throughout the Gospels. And to me, they are just beautiful. And here she is on the day of resurrection in the tomb. She was the first one at the tomb. She was the last one at the cross. I mean, this is an incredible woman. Well, what happened to her? Well, she had gone through some phases in her life. Let me give them simply to you. And by the way, if you are a believer in Jesus, you are going to go through all three of these phases. If you're a believer, you've already gone through this first phase. Mary, she was perfectly lost. Now, in the 6th century, the Pope did a series of sermons on Mary Magdalene, and he said she was the prostitute, the woman caught in sin that was brought to Jesus and thrown down, and where Jesus wrote on the ground and then stood up and said, you know, whoever is without sin, cast the first stone, and they all went away. He said that was her. It wasn't. He also said that she was the same woman that was the prostitute that was at the dinner where the prostitute cried and her tears fell on Jesus' feet and she wiped him with her hair and Jesus told her she was forgiven. But the thing is, it's not true. That's not Mary Magdalene. That's not her. It was another woman, God bless them, who all came to know Jesus, and that's a beautiful thing. But don't pin that stuff on Mary. That wasn't her, not at all. The old rock opera when we were kids, Jesus Christ Superstar, they got it wrong when they had the person that played Mary Magdalene talking about wanting to take Jesus down, if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, they had it wrong. She wasn't a prostitute. She wasn't a loose chick. She was Mary Magdalene. And Mary, the name Magdalene is just telling you what, like Jesus of Nazareth? She was from Magdala on the western edge of the Sea of Galilee. She was a good woman. She was a woman of means, of wealth. She comes from a wealthy family. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the same thing of what her problem really was. She was possessed by 7 demons. All 3 of them listed. They're saying that Jesus, there's a list of women that Jesus healed. In fact, I'll read it to you in Luke chapter 8. It says that the disciples walked with, you know, were with Jesus in his travels, but also some women whom Jesus had cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, and they tell others of other women that were there among the followers of Jesus. And the word 7 is the word of perfection or completeness, all right? It means Mary was totally messed up. She was totally controlled by darkness. Now get this, she comes from a rich family. She's a wealthy young woman. And her money and her culture and her position and her pedigree and her privilege, none of it could fix her. Someday we'll hear the whole story about her. Think of her desperate family, waiting, trying to find somebody who could cure her. And nobody could, but Jesus came. Jesus dealt with her spiritual problems, and she became whole. Now, let me tell you something. Everybody right now is thinking about the world in which we live, that it's all going to heck in a handbasket. You know, that it's over, the culture's over, forget it, there's no hope. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I believe there is a coming awakening because of the great darkness that is over our culture right now. I think there is a great awakening coming because everybody has tried everything in this culture and nothing works. They're ripe for the gospel. And I think God's going to send a great awakening. St. Augustine said something very true, and it's true of every human. We are created for God and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in Him. And that is absolutely true. I know it's dark. You say that's bad. I say that's good. You say the culture's falling apart. Everything's terrible. That's awful. No, I'm telling you, it's a setup. God is about to show up and do something in our world. It happened. It happened for them. Nothing is working. It's going to happen because, get this, there's something about Jesus. Wherever there is great need, Jesus shows up. Okay? It happened throughout the Gospels. It's going to happen here again. He is going to show up in the midst of this. The gospel is going to be understood by people who never even think about him, and they're going to come to Christ. That's how the world, that's how it's always worked. Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners." Man, I'm telling you, it's ripe. Hope seems to be gone. You say that's bad, I say it's good. It's a setup. You got to see the bad news before the good news looks good. We've already seen recorded that Mary had seven demons. I mean, her family must have tried so hard. But when the answer came, it changed everything. I mean, she was totally lost, and she was not too far gone. Do you see that? Not too far gone. The maniac of Gadara, the man who was so demon-possessed that he lived in the tombs, naked, cutting himself, crying out day and night, he was not too far gone. Jesus transformed that man, if you remember, to when the people of the town came to see him, this man was clothed and in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that scared the heck out of him because they were used to sick, not healthy. Her family had tried everything. Nothing worked, and then Jesus showed up. We had an experience like that in our family. You all saw my brother Mark last week, sitting right here where Mickey's sitting. He helped us serve communion. He was here from Switzerland. He came to see us all. He really came to golf, okay? But the rest of us were in it, okay? We got in the loop somehow. 38 years ago, he was sitting where Ruby was sitting. We thought he would die before he was 25. Loved mescaline and speed. Smoking dope all the time, trying heroin. Our family was heartbroken and nobody knew what to do anymore. One day he showed up at our little condo out in Keatington in Lake Orion. He had his Bible. Wow, he had his Bible. He said, "Look, I know the answer to my entire life is in this book, but I'm too bleeped up," changed it for you, "bleeped up to figure it out." I showed him a couple of Bible verses. That was a Saturday. The next morning he's sitting beside Debbie over here. And I was speaking, and Pastor Gall was gone. I was filling in for him, and I asked if anybody wanted to receive Christ, and he raised his hand, and I shut it down because he had just tried killing himself. He had just out of the hospital from trying to take an overdose. And you want to know what changed his life? Jesus. Nothing else. Last week, he sits here serving us communion as a renowned pastor in Europe, who pastors a church. The building was built in 900. I mean, amazing. He's the father of five precious adult children. He has eight grandchildren. He's loved by everyone. He just turned 60. We never thought he'd live to be 25. Jesus showed up. That's what happened in our family. It seemed like it would never happen, and it did. So last week, I'm sitting back here. He comes. Mark Rose bumps him, says, "Hey, serve those guys, Myron and me." My brother gets up, and he did it in a much more personal way than we just pass stuff around here. He picks up the bread, looks you in the eye, and says, "The body of Christ broken for you." I cried. I don't cry in church, and I hate preachers that cry every time they preach. Well, I hate that stuff. So I'm cracking up over here because I remember what he was. He was completely, utterly lost, and Jesus showed up. I'm telling you, Mary was lost. Let me tell you, by the way, you can't come to Jesus till you're lost. You might think going to church and doing all your good little things somehow is going to earn you a place in heaven. My mother used to say the road to hell is paved with good intentions, okay? And that is absolutely true. It's either God's way or no way, all right? You either come to him through Christ, knowing that you're a lost sinner,
or you don't go. It's the only one way. He created this way so we can make it. We are lost. Listen, the first phase in her life was she was utterly and perfectly lost. But then something happened. She was perfectly saved. She came to Jesus. I mean, Jesus cures her of this demon possession. She comes all the way back to her family. But when we know that she was perfectly saved, because her life became about Jesus after that. We see her around Jesus. Mary's life became all about him. You see, she was wealthy and she was single. She did not have a family, so she could travel with Jesus and the disciples and help them in some pretty specific ways. I go back to that verse I read to you in Luke chapter 8, that after this, Jesus traveled about from town and village, from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news, and the 12 were with him. And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. And then there's Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. This is a lady, you know, that's swimming in bucks. Well, whatever it was, their currency back then. This woman has a lot of money. Susanna and many others. These are women from the aristocracy, right? They're following Jesus. Why are they following? Get this. These women were helping support them out of their own means. Isn't that incredible? We all hear about these guys following Jesus around. We don't hear much about the girls that were making it all happen with their money, too. Mary becomes that. She follows Jesus, man. Her devotion sprung from his great mercy. Her gratitude was this healthy motivation that caused her to follow Jesus for the rest of her life. See, that's the thing about being completely lost, is that when you get saved, when you trust in Christ, when you become completely saved, the gratitude is what drives your life. Not guilt, not shame, not obligation, but love and gratitude that he loves you. That's what she did. It's pretty great stuff, man. And by the way, that's the only healthy motivation. Her devotion was beautiful. And it went on for the rest of her life. Listen, don't waste your life. If you've trusted in Jesus, live in the gratitude of Jesus. Let him change you. It was old Ty Cobb, that old Detroit Tiger, started playing in 1928. Played in 3,033 straight games. Had 4 years of a batting average of over 400, which is incredible. He was my dad's hero. My dad loved him. He was known as a weasel, not a very likable guy. He was a mean dude. Nobody liked him. He was a real jerk. He accepted Jesus as his savior on his deathbed, July 17th, 1961. And he felt so bad that he had wasted his life. He said on his deathbed, "You tell the boys I'm sorry that it was the bottom of the ninth when I came to know Christ. I wish it would have been the top of the first." Isn't that great? And Mary didn't waste her life, man. She gave it for Jesus after that, which is perfectly saved. You know, as a kid, I went to Webster School, which is all boarded up now. Sue Keeler taught there for 40 years. But on Huron Street in downtown Pontiac, it's a beautiful old building. I went to kindergarten. When you're facing that building, the front right side was a kindergarten room that I was in. And if you look farther to the right on the other side of the street was a store that sold candy. Now, my mother didn't raise any dummies, okay? I got plenty of good food at home. But when I had lunch money in my pocket, so many cents, I remember milk was 3 cents. Man, I'm old. But anyhow, that I had money, I'd sneak across at 5. I would sneak across and buy candy, okay? No wonder sometimes I come home with a chocolate ring around my mouth and my wife goes, "You had ice cream, didn't you? I can't believe it." You know, it's easy to spend what we have on junk instead of the good stuff. Let's not do that. If you were lost and you came to know Jesus, hey, live your life for him. It's a great thing. It's beautiful. Gratitude helps you not waste your life. You were bought with a price, the Bible says. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Okay, so now I'm getting to my big point, okay? She was perfectly lost, the first phase of her life. Second phase, she was perfectly saved. She was found by Jesus. Woo! But here's the last one. She was perfectly confused. Now, if you've gone through step one and step two, you are going to go through step three. She's following Jesus. They take him. They judge him. They beat him. They crucify him. And she has absolutely no clue how this could happen. How could this ever work into God's plan? She had no idea how this awful thing could unfold and be God's plan. She was perfectly confused, and you're going to go through those same times. There are things that are going to happen in your life that you're not going to be able to understand. But Mary did. She did some very specific things. Number one, she never left him. She totally was confused in this phase of her life. She had no idea what was going on. How could this happen? He's the Savior. I've seen the miracles. The demons that ruled my life obeyed him and left. How can this be happening to him? But she never left. You'll find there were four women standing at the cross. The mother of Jesus, her sister, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. She was there. She was the last one at the cross. She was totally confused. She had no idea what in the world was going on, but she did not leave. There's a picture in the Louvre in Paris. It's of the crucifixion where the body of Jesus is being taken down from the cross. It's in shadows. There are some stars that are muted out in the picture. But down in the corner in the shadow is a woman kissing the foot of the crucified Christ. It's a portrait of Mary Magdalene. She never left. Let me tell you something. You're going to go through stuff that is so confusing, you're not going to be able to figure it all out right now. Don't leave him. Just because the world seems unfair and you can't figure out how God could allow this to happen in your life, don't leave, because he's the only answer. He's the only one that carries the answer. And she never left. She would not turn away. After he was buried, we find out that Mary was sitting opposite. And when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus buried the body of Jesus, she was sitting in the graveyard opposite, watching it all. She wouldn't leave him until his body was secured in the grave. Man, I wonder what was going on in her head when she walked home that night. It had to be awful. All I know is that she never left. And to me, that's very beautiful. Here's something else. On that morning, when Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, bodily, okay? Bodily raised from the dead. She's looking in the tomb, and there are these angels. She just sees interesting people, but they're angels. Saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, one at the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Get this. She said, "They have taken my Lord away." He was still the Lord. She didn't understand this. Her brain is fried at this point. But she said, "He is still my Lord. I still believe he is in control of all this." Sounds like Job in the midst of his trials, standing up in the ash heap of his life and saying, "I know my Redeemer lives. And one day, this body, this eye will stand on this earth and I will see him." I mean, it's amazing. She still called him the Lord. Listen, don't leave him and still let him be your Lord. Hey, can I say the ultimate way, the ultimate worst way of leaving in the midst of trouble in your life? Suicide. That is the permanent solution to a temporary problem. It is the dumbest thing that any of us can do. This is not the time for that. If you're hearing voices about that, you need to talk to someone. Let someone know you're having those feelings and thoughts. It's very, very important. Because you see, if you take yourself out, you're never going to see the answer that he was sending you. And by the way, he is sending you an answer. It's beautiful. She never left, and she called him Lord. Here's one more thing, too. When she finally realizes it's Jesus, Jesus says to her, "Mary." And she just screams this Aramaic title out, "Rabboni." You know what that means? Teacher. She never left him. He was still the Lord of her life. And get this one. She still saw him as the one teaching her. I had lunch with a buddy of mine this week. He's had so many terrible struggles in his life. He said, "The one thing I'm doing," He says, I don't know why I've got to go through this. It's awful. But he says, the one thing I'm doing, I'm asking the Lord to be my teacher in this. Rabboni, show me. I mean, that is something. She's quite a woman. Because she stayed, because she saw him as her Lord, and because she saw him as the great teacher, she was the first to see him alive. She was the first to tell of the resurrection. She went back and told the apostles. She was the apostle to the apostles, okay? She was the one who was the farthest away, and she ended up being the one who was the closest. Mary. You know, I love history. It's a big part of my life. When we were gone this last month, I read this many books. It was amazing. Most of them were about historical figures. Could you imagine if you're sitting in a library studying Benjamin Rush, one of the founders, and he walked into the library, and instead of you doing research, suddenly you're doing an interview? Can you imagine? Listen, you've learned all these facts about Jesus. You've read about him in the Bible, and you've believed them, and they're true. But now's the time for your interview. In the midst of your pain and struggle, he is going to show up. And it won't be somebody else's faith that will sustain you. It'll be your faith that will sustain you. You know, others can believe for you when you're going through trouble. They can help you. They can stand with you. Jesus personally wants to stand with you and lead you through this difficult time, and you'll come out the other side an intimate friend of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who when we were perfectly lost, perfectly saved us, and when we were perfectly confused, came to us. You think about that. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the incredible one that you are, and that you were stone cold dead in that grave, and that you're alive forevermore. Thank you for Mary. Father, I just can't wait to hear her whole story, to listen. It's amazing. Thank you for her. Lord, you know what we're going through, and all of our brothers and sisters who went ahead of us, Mary and all the others, struggled with the same things we struggle with. So we wait for you. We don't leave. We wait for the answer from you. Speak to your people. Put your hands on us. Work in our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.